Hi, everybody. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Lauren.
And this is Sister Sister Wives. This week, we're covering Seeking Brother Husband, season two, episode... Is this three? Episode three?
Three, yeah.
Episode three.
Episode tres, because I got my Babbel, and I'm... Oh, that was on the Patreon. I'm working on my Babbel, people.
Oh, my God.
Did I tell you that I got Spanish version?
You said you were going to get... You were going to look into Babbel or whatever.
I got it with my healthcare discount. It was 60% off.
Oh, hey.
So for 6 months, it was like $36.
Oh, my God. That's a steal.
I know. And I really like the app. So yeah,
I've heard good things.
Yeah.
I've heard good things. I'm going to add it to my to-do list. I keep thinking like, oh, cause I need to start walking. I mean, like for a multitude of reasons, mostly because I've sat here like a bump on a fucking log all winter. But anyways, and I was thinking, oh, I could listen to it when I walked. But then I realized that I would be walking around the neighborhood saying things in Spanish to myself out loud in a terrible accent as I walked around the neighborhood.
Right. You also have to like look at the screen.
Okay.
Because part of the like lesson is a conversation between two people.
Oh, I see.
So you're looking at the conversation to see what word needs to be in the empty space. So
I guess I'll just keep listening to my podcasts instead.
You're right. Right. Listen to your murder podcast while you walk around.
I know there are always people outside here because so many people live in this townhouse area, you know, that they would absolutely hear me out there talking to myself if that's what I was doing. Anywho, I was going to say we're three episodes in and I still hate Elisa.
Oh, I feel like she got worse.
She gets worse
every episode. This episode really pissed me off.
She gets worse every week. And also my dislike of her turns ragier and ragier every week when I watch.
Yes.
She really is the Garrick. Also, when I posted last week's episode, I put Elisa as the, you know, the Garrick.
Yes.
Brother husbands. And somebody said, yeah, and Noble is the basement husband.
Yes. I was like, yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Really is.
Oh my God. That's perfect.
It's so great. So accurate.
It is. I don't know who we want to start with. I want to leave Elisa till last so that I can rage into my evening.
I love it.
Well, who do you want to start? Let's just get the Asheville people out of the way because they're so boring.
Okay.
Let me find them. Kim, Vincent, and Dustin.
Yes.
I don't dislike or like any of these. I mean, I like Vincent, but I don't dislike or like the rest of them because they're so fucking boring. I can hardly stand to watch their segments.
It's the Winders.
But worse, because the Winders are at least like wholesome and having babies and stuff, you know?
Right.
Yeah. All right. So Kim and her friend Brittany are going shopping. Yes. Brittany is her polyandry guru, and she's been living the lifestyle for a long time and has also struggled with family acceptance, so they can relate.
They have like that like hobo chic.
They sure do.
Outfit, like attire style. So old.
They are dressed like the same person in two different bodies.
They are. It's really cute, though.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
I like it. It's more my style than your style.
For sure. It's not my style at all.
No, it's not. I like it, though.
I am wearing my homebody shirt, though, today, as usual.
Okay.
As per usual.
Okay. You're horny, baby.
Okay. I wore this shirt this morning to Liam's OT appointment, and all I could think about was how you thought it said horny baby, but I didn't think about that until I was already in the car on the way there, and I was like, what if the people at OT think this says horny baby?
That's what they think. That's what everyone thinks. Yes. Have you posted this shirt on the gram?
I don't think I have, but I guess I should.
Oh, maybe you should. Maybe because I'm sure someone else sees it as horny baby.
I'm sure. I did. I also just ordered more shirts from the same person on Etsy because they have some Disney shirts. Did you watch Breaking Bad?
No.
Okay, you know of Breaking Bad.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so Avery watches Breaking Bad. And I was looking at Disney shirts on this Etsy store. And I found one that's so fucking perfect for Avery. It is Walt from Breaking Bad, you know, his face. And he's wearing Mickey ears that say Walt across them.
Nice.
It's just like a black and white of his face with the Mickey ears and the Walt. And I was like, if that's not Avery style, I don't know what is.
Really? Seriously? My God.
Yeah, so I bought that and a couple of other shirts, but... It's like the softer shirts.
Yes, I like those.
Once I find a place that does the t-shirts with the softer shirts, I'm just going to keep buying them from you, you know.
Oh, yeah, the soft for shirts. Sure. T-Turtle has the soft shirts.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like them. I have my Go Find Less shirt.
What does that mean?
On, you know, like when somebody tells you that you're too much.
I see.
You tell them to go find less. This is by Elise Myers on TikTok.
Oh, I love her. Yeah.
I love her too.
Yeah.
But she has a whole TikTok about this, the Go Find Less things. Uh-huh. I also have her shirt that says, that's a great question. I'd love to tell you.
My favorite thing that she says.
Yes. I love it so much.
I love that. That's so good.
They are not the soft shirts though.
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah. They're comfy though. And I like wearing them. They're kind of like bigger because they're like unisex, but they're kind of like, they're not like boxy. Because uh-huh. they fit nicely, but they're like bigger. And so I like wearing them like around the house and like when I'm going to be like home.
Yeah.
Or like running around town, like running errands and stuff like that.
Right.
Because it's like comfy and I feel like I don't have to be like dressed up for it.
Right, right, right. See, so, can you see that? What does it say?
Yeah, it's canvas.
Canvas. Okay. So yeah. All the shirts that I have from like Etsy that are this material that I like are those is a canvas shirt.
Yes. That was also like when I was making shirts before, that was the shirts that I was buying was canvas.
Dear listeners, if any of you have an Etsy shirt and you make t-shirts that like have funny shit on them and you make them with these soft canvas t-shirts, you send me a link because I'm always looking for soft canvas shirts to buy.
Hell yeah.
Yes. All right. Anywho, let's talk about these boring ass people.
That's what we should do is put a Instagram post up for people to promote their small businesses.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
And if you have soft shirts, come my way because I need some more.
Because that's the only thing Nicole's going to buy.
That's that is not true, actually. I buy a lot of stuff from small businesses.
The amount of things that we both buy from small businesses is ridiculous. Yeah. Oh my God.
There is this adorable little shop downtown that I think started as maybe like a flower shop and now they sell other stuff too. And I just go in there and buy shit that I absolutely do not need in the name of supporting small businesses because they have the cutest stuff. Yes.
Hell yeah. I also love a good like craft show.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Same.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. All right. Anyway, so Kim is telling Brittany that, you know, she and Vincent haven't seen each other and Dustin loves him. Things were great. He's got these two daughters. They were having family dinners and him and the girls would come over to play with Cohen all the time. But she noticed him getting a little attached. She thinks that he's okay with sharing her with Dustin, but she could tell that he didn't like the idea of her with other people. We all could tell that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She thinks he thought it would just be him and Dustin all the time. And if she told Vincent there was someone she wanted to go on a date with, he would not be okay with it. And then Brittany tells us that she knows what Kim's going through right now. She's been in a relationship before where someone wasn't able to share her and she felt very limited. And that's how she knew she wasn't able to be with him long term. He wanted her for himself. And then the communication and trust went away. Brittany says you have to have someone who loves you for who you are and is able to share you. Is it really good for you? You got out of that limited relationship to expand, you know, yourself. She says she just wants to make sure that he helps Kim grow and not limits her, which when she said that, it's the exact same terminology that Dustin uses,
mm-hmm.
like about how much she can grow herself.
Right.
Which makes me wonder if this is like a concept that all of their friends are talking about. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I just thought it was weird that like she used the exact same terminology.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's like something that they all have collectively talked about, this same exact phrase of like growing yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Probably. It's like, oh my God, I can't even remember now what Christine said about Mary. And it's very like therapist thing.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about specifically, but they're always like spitting out therapy phrases.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was one thing very like specific that she said. It was essentially about like distancing herself from like Mary.
When people aren't safe.
Yes.
Yeah.
That it's like that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. It sounds like a script, like they were told to say this one thing, but I don't think it's a script from like the producers or something. I think it's just a thing that they say in their friend group, probably.
Yeah. In their like community or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kim says that Vincent doesn't want to hear about the people that she's dating and he gets kind of a tude about it. I was like, first of all, God. I didn't think other people said tude. So I was excited to hear that.
Uh-huh.
She says he has to be able to see her with other people and be okay with seeing her with other people. And she's not sure that he can do that. And Brittany says, well, there's a party tomorrow. Maybe you should bring him and see what he's like around everybody. Great idea. Let's trick him into going to a party so you can all test how he reacts.
First off, this is a terrible idea.
Oh,
and
it's,
also,
it's awful.
She knows that there's going to be dudes there that what's her face wants to flirt with.
Yes. Kim. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This just feels really shitty. Like they're just playing a game with him.
Yes.
I didn't like this at all. Because she even says, Brittany says, it's important for her to bring Vincent along. Him meeting all of us is important for her. And she's been wanting their worlds to blend a little bit. So it's time to bring him. And Kim even says she's a little nervous about how he's going to react seeing her with other people. And of course, she's concerned this might not go well. Okay, well, if you're already concerned about that, then maybe don't do it. I don't know. Just thinking out loud.
Just a thought. Just an idea.
So the next time we see them, they're at the party. Kim thought that it would be a good test to bring Vince in here because there's a couple of cute guys she's interested in here. Mm-hmm. Dustin says he's fine with Kim dating other men. What these relationships bring to him is just letting his wife fully express herself and finally see herself through other people's perspectives and understanding. Kim says where she and Vincent currently are is the romantic pull, but she doesn't think he feels comfortable with her dating other people. He does not.
No.
Let me answer that for you. He does not.
There's no think. He doesn't.
He hates every second of this. He's so uncomfortable when they show him in a minute here.
Yes. Yes, he really is.
He looks like me at a party where I don't know anybody. Do you know? You know what I mean?
Yes. Yep.
Genuinely. I've never felt so like I've never related to anybody more. So we meet Michelle. And by the way, Michelle's lower third just says party goer, not like friend of Kim.
Yes.
Or anything like that. Party goer. So she says she's known Kim and Dustin for a couple of months now through her boyfriend. And her boyfriend has known Kim and Dustin for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. This is such a fucking awkward conversation. And you could tell that the producers made them do this because she's like, oh, hey, Michelle, you know, it's good to have our worlds meshed. Great to see you here. Are you aware that I date other men?
Yes. It was so weird.
Very.
Is that just how she introduces herself on the reg?
I certainly hope not.
Could you imagine going somewhere and meeting someone and they were just like, Did you know this?
No. Listen, I could, because if it was you or I, we'd be like, tell me everything. But for a normal person, no, it would not go well, you know? No. So Michelle's like, yeah, I wasn't sure. And then she says to Dustin, so you're okay with her sleeping with other men? And he's like, most of the time, it's almost an act of loyalty. And Michelle asked the question that we all should have been thinking from the beginning and we have not talked about yet somehow, which is, do you get a hotel room or...
I just assumed that they went somewhere else.
I guess I never really like thought about it, but that should have been the first fucking question.
It should have been. The answer, part of the answer, like floored me.
Well, she says that normally they would hang out at another person's place, but it just depends. Vincent and her would normally go to his place and hang out. And then Michelle says, well, do you bring people into your home? And she goes, well, sure.
This is the part.
And then Michelle says to Dustin, you're okay with that? And he says, I trust Kim's judgment and her intentions and where she's coming from. That's where some trust comes into play. And then Michelle says, do you find it weird to have another man in your bed? And he goes, yeah, sometimes, definitely.
Yeah, that's the part.
So does that mean with him or he just goes and sleeps on the sofa?
I assume that he's not a part of it.
Right. That's what I figured.
He would just go sleep on the sofa. But like,
ain't nobody kicking me out of my bed so they can sleep with somebody else. I'm so sorry. You guys can have sex on the sofa, but this, I'm sleeping here.
Right. And then also, like, you're going to go burn my sheets to put new ones on? Well, you know?
I know. Mean, just so bizarre.
It's so weird.
It's like, because Elisa and Mike were having this conversation. She wanted to bring people in to the... So I could just hear you fucking somebody in the other room? No, thank you.
No, thank you. Well, like Noble, what's the other one's name? Babe. Babe could hear Nobi, you know. They were fucking in the basement. Babe could hear it.
You're right. The basement wife. What the hell is his name? Patrick.
Oh my God. See, now you just got me calling him Babe all the time.
And we learned some things about Patrick this episode that I was not expecting about him having a bunch of kids.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
Like, what the fuck? I did not expect that.
I thought when she was like, you know, all of your kids, I was like, what? Is this like a joke? Are they talking about cars?
Maybe they were talking about dogs or something. Like, oh, I didn't know. And then he was like, oh yeah, I got 5 kids. I was like, excuse me?
Wait, we're not doing that yet.
I know. Oh my God. Okay. Reel it back in. These people are so boring. We have to talk about somebody else. So then Michelle, that's her name, right? Yes, Michelle.
Yes.
Michelle to camera is like, marriage is sacred and it's between two people. And she's not sure she agrees with Kim and Dustin, but they have different viewpoints on where relationships stand. So sometimes things just take time to digest. Now, she's right. Sometimes things do take time to digest, but I don't think it matters what you think about Kim and Dustin's relationship.
I don't think it does either, but she is like visibly uncomfortable with this conversation.
Totally uncomfortable.
So she clearly does not want to be there.
Yes. And then she says to them, like, glad you guys are able to do it, but it's not for me. And then she just walks away.
Yes. It's so uncomfortable. The whole thing is so bizarre.
That's why I also think that's another thing that makes me think it was a producer driven conversation. Like, the whole thing is just so weird.
Right. Don't bring that poor girl into it.
God, they should have talked to her boyfriend that was actually friends with them.
Yeah, because he would have known.
Yes. Yeah. I think they just wanted the weirdness, you know.
Well, they shouldn't, because I feel bad for that girl.
No, me too. She was not expecting that. She probably wasn't expecting the cameras. She wasn't expecting any of this shit, you know. Kim's like, honestly, that was kind of intense. Yeah, it was. She's like, there were times I felt like she was being a little judgy, and I get that because it's not for everyone, but it made Kim think about her relationship and how she would define it. I don't think you defined it to her either.
I don't think you did either, but also she was judging you. She was absolutely judging you.
Absolutely. I also kind of think that they were judging Michelle for judging them. So it goes full circle.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
Actually, I don't think Dustin was. Dustin just seems so fucking chill and laid back.
Yeah,
like nothing really phases him. What if he just becomes like a total rage monster later in the season after being so chill?
Could you imagine? Oh my God.
So by the way, I haven't addressed the fact yet that this is the party where she has the gnarly sunburn.
Yes.
Boy, I just want to get her some aloe vera.
Okay. This sunburn is a perfectly straight line.
I don't understand. She must have had a shirt on that was perfectly straight, but how does your shirt stay perfectly straight like that?
Was she wearing a tube top?
Oh, something that was tight.
Right, maybe.
So then she starts to talk to this guy who I thought his name was Brian, but then later I thought they said Ryan and I didn't have the closed captioning on, so I'm unsure.
I didn't either because Elijah was watching with me and he's always like, oh, turn the closed caption off. Turn the subtitles off. I'm like, you know what? Some people can't hear what's happening unless they can see the words on the screen.
That's okay? Right. You're right. You're right.
So hush your mush, little child.
We're going to call him Brian Ryan because I'm not sure which he is. So she's talking to Brian Ryan, who is a friend of theirs that she only sees at big group events, but she's excited to hang out with him a little more. Now, since we know she invited Vincent to come to this as like a game, and we know that Brian Ryan attends these things in the past, and presumably she's never decided to flirt with him before, I feel like this was just her flirting with people for the sake of making Vincent uncomfortable.
1000%. It was a full-blown setup to make Vincent uncomfortable.
And it's like, why? If you care about the guy, then why do you want to make him uncomfortable? I don't find that fun or funny or nice or anything.
No, I don't. I think it's terrible to like test your partner.
Yeah.
Just have conversations with them.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. There's somebody currently on 90 Day Fiance who one of her friends is catfishing her boyfriend to see if he falls for the bait. Why are you doing that?
Right.
Why? What's the purpose?
People do that like for a living.
I don't understand that.
I don't either.
That feels very icky. So she sits down with Brian Ryan right beside Vincent, but is fully acting like Vincent isn't there.
Okay. That also felt like a setup almost by like producers. Like, hey, go sit over there.
Yes.
And then you go sit over there.
Yes.
They're very close to each other. And Vincent's sitting by himself.
Yeah. And I think I 100% believe, based on the tiny bit that we know about Vincent, that he is uncomfortable in social situations.
Yes.
So him sitting there isn't weird to me. Her sitting down and not saying boo to Vincent is weird.
Right.
And then later she's like, well, he didn't, you know, talk to me or whatever. He's being so weird and sitting by himself, because you're sitting right beside him, purposefully flirting with people.
Right.
Which, by the way, they flirt about as well as I do, because they were talking about white pants and whether this guy should have worn them and whether she likes them.
Right.
I was like, did you guys go to the Nicole school of flirting? Because that's what's happening here.
I'm sure that they flirted about other things that we probably couldn't air on television.
Probably, but I feel like it was just as awkward.
Oh, I'm sure that it was.
So Vincent says to Cameron that it's difficult to see her with other people and there's a lot of emotions. Brian Ryan asks Kim to hang out downtown sometime and go skating? Like roller skating?
Where are they from? Where do they live?
Asheville.
I don't know. Is that a thing down there?
Is that a thing anywhere?
To go roller skating? I mean, this weekend.
No. On a sidewalk? In a downtown area where people are,
I would be thing some places.
I would be running into people who were just trying to sit out there and drink their coffee outside or whatever.
That's why you don't roller skate.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. Vincent, you know, looks super uncomfortable while Brian Ryan is badly flirting with Kim. And then he gets up and leaves. And this is where Kim says that Vincent's not really talking to her so much. And he's standoffish with her friends. And that makes her upset and mad.
Girl, get over yourself.
She's like, I created this space to talk to everybody and get to know, you know, our friends. And he's just not putting much effort into it. He's acting like he doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to be there.
She created this space to to make him uncomfortable. And then she's exactly mad that he's uncomfortable.
You're exactly right.
Right. Okay.
I did the thing to you that you're doing right now, and I'm mad at you about it.
Me.
Oh, yes, you're right. But like in a subtle, nice way.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's not nasty like Elisa.
Yes.
She's right. Like subtly being selfish.
Right. I'm honestly not a huge fan of her.
No.
With like all this shit that she's pulling.
No, I don't like any of this.
It's real shitty.
It is real shitty. And I think that Vincent is being a lot nicer than I would be.
Oh, yeah.
In this particular situation.
Right.
Also, the other weird thing that happened that I didn't write down, but I'm just remembering now, is that when she comes up to Dustin at the party, she acts like it's the first time she's seen him in a week too.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, hey, how are you doing? You mean since we left the house and stepped out of the car here? I'm doing
great. Since we got out of the car together. Yeah.
Doing fine. Thanks for asking.
Oh shit.
Vincent says Kim is usually really good at getting him to open up and come out of his shell, but she didn't really try this time. And it's not her job, that's on him. But he feels like a lot of things have been left unsaid, and a lot of those things have to do with the other people in her life right now, and it's hard for him to pretend. Why don't you leave, Vincent? Because you're an attractive man and you can find somebody who is not being mean to you with a gnarly sunburn.
Right. That the sunburn. God,
I can't get past the sun. I cannot get past it. It's terrible. All right. Well, I guess let's do. Oh my gosh.
Well, we may as well do Babe and Noble.
No, because let's. Well, do you want to do them next?
Yeah, let's do them next.
Let me go back up here. All right. So
how many do we have? Four.
There's four.
There's
four every time, I think.
Well, there's five total, right?
No. Who's the fifth?
Oh wait, is there only four total?
Chara.
Was there only three the first episode?
Yeah. Okay. Kenya, Elisa, and Kim.
Right.
Okay. So we're in Atlanta. This is Chara, Patrick, and Noble, or Chara, Babe, and Nobi, depending on who you're asking.
Yep.
Although she doesn't call him Babe once in this episode. Instead, she refers to her as my husband, to him.
Does she call Noble Nobi?
Nope.
Right.
So Patrick and Chara hanging out. Patrick asks how her day was. She says it was good. She met up with Noble. He had some interesting things to share. He said he wants to reignite their relationship and he wants to think about moving back. And then they both burst into laughter.
Yes.
And Patrick is like, move back where?
Yes.
I was like, do you two hate him?
I'm starting to wonder.
I think they do. I'm not sure why Noble is even on this show. And when he says, move back where? Chara's like, I know, right?
Uh-huh. Noble, also a nice guy.
Well, I don't know. I feel like there's something there that we're missing. I feel like we're missing some piece of this story.
We probably are, since things just keep popping up that nobody's talked about.
These people are like an onion. Every week, it's just another layer.
Yes. Yes, they really are. Yep.
Oh, because then they tell us about the sickle cell thing, which was another layer.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. They were wild this week.
They really were.
So she says she doesn't know. It was premature the first time. He just came in like a whirlwind and it probably wasn't the best choice to make so soon. Also, you guys made it during a pandemic when we were all stuck inside each other's faces.
Yep.
Patrick's like, the thing is, he doesn't understand boundaries and it's not a good look. He's your face.
Wow. It's not a good look.
It's not a good look. And Patrick is like, it was weird for Noble to move into the house initially. Even though they discussed it and agreed, it was still very uncomfortable. They didn't really set any boundaries at that time. And he was supposed to be in the basement wife, but he would just come upstairs and sit in the kitchen unannounced. Heaven forbid he have to eat.
Right.
Or drink to stay alive.
Is there a kitchen in the basement?
I certainly hope so, the way he was talking.
Man.
He's like, it was a little annoying. And then it became a consistent problem. And once he left, it was better.
I feel like Babe doesn't want a second husband around.
Do you think?
Like, he's okay with her going and getting some.
Out but somewhere.
Somewhere else. But he's not okay with someone else being in his house.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. He's like, on top of that, the way he treats you, if a man really wants a woman, he's going to let her know. He's going to show his admiration. And it's like Noble doesn't really know how to court a woman. He just wants sex. He doesn't really want a real relationship. It's just a convenience thing to him, where Chara wants a companion, someone that will show her love and show up when she needs them to.
So I thought that was a weird thing to say. He doesn't know how to court.
I know.
Are you there when he's courting?
Also, it's a weird term. I feel it is. It's like an old fashioned term to use.
But like, is he there whenever they're like going out on their dates and stuff?
Right. I would think not.
No, weird.
Chara says it's confusing because he says he loves her so much and that he cares about her, but she thinks he just wants to be friends with benefits. She thinks that's his aim. He wants an open path to some vagina. He wants a lifetime membership to some cookies. And then Patrick says he wants a lifetime membership without having a membership fee. And Tara's like, exactly. And I was like, can you two just say that you hate him and we move on?
For real. But also, that's a good way to put it.
I know. It's a great way to put it. It's a great it really way to put is. It.
But like, that's what she wants out of him.
Yes, I know.
So what's
if
the
it's
issue?
A mutual?
Yeah,
but it's not what Patrick wants. It seems like, you know.
Okay, well, babe can take a chill pill because he's not in this relationship.
My husband, as she calls him, can take a chill pill.
Right.
So Tara says she's not looking for them to spark a super new connection. She just wants it to be more peaceful so they can get along. And right now it's oil and water. So then the next time we see them is when he is outside washing the car.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, are you doing a honey-do? Yes, you're doing something on my honey-do list. And she says, Patrick takes good care of her and her honey-do list. He's a great caretaker. He's really hands-on. So it was really sweet seeing him out trying to clean the car. And I think, honest to God, that she just wants him to do stuff around the house for her while she sleeps with other people, which is fine, but just say that.
Yes.
So this is when she says, how are the kids doing? And I put in all caps, hold on now.
Right.
I am confused.
There was no like lead into it.
No.
I thought she was talking about like the cars.
Uh-huh.
Like maybe he had multiple cars because he's washing the cars. And uh-huh. So she asked that. No.
This whole time when they've been showing like the previews of her talking about wanting a kid, I was thinking that they never had a kid before, neither one right. of them. And so
they left that part out.
Totally. And he
we
says,
see you, TLC.
I know. He says he has a plethora of children. He has 5 kids, 3 from his ex-wife and 2 outside his ex-wife. And they are ages 25 to 35. And then I was like, how fucking old is he?
How old is he?
Let me look. Because I do have it written on the first week that they were there.
Also, it's no fucking wonder he don't want to start over.
No. Are you crazy?
Also, how old is she?
Okay, I'm getting there.
Because
hold on.
I thought they were the same age.
Okay, she's 43. He's 47. And Noble is 39.
Wait a minute. That's not right. That can't be right.
He had a kid when he was 12?
That can't be right. Somebody fact check this.
That's what it says. I swear to God. I wrote down 47.
No. What's their last name?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
I don't think they don't say last names in this one. The way that just clicked for us at the same uh-huh. time. I mean, look, you can have a kid when you're 12.
You sure can. But I mean, you can.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. It doesn't have anything about his kids. It keeps pulling up Carl and Kenya.
Let me pull a Discovery Plus and go back into the episode and make sure that it says 47. But I swear to God it did. Ooh, Chara, 43. I wonder if they'll show his age this time because he's not like the main, you know, she's the main person.
Uh-huh.
I'm waiting for them to show him talking to the camera. Yeah, it says 47.
Okay.
So either he had a kid when he was 12 or he's lying to them about his age.
Are we 100% sure that he said 25 to 35?
No, I'm not 100% sure, but let me go back to that part. Yeah. Ages from 25 to 35. And the shady ass editors show his age right before he says that on the screen for another time. Like they show his age again. And then he says 25 to 35. So maybe he had 2 kids whenever he was like a teen and then he got married and had 3 more. Your face.
So he had his first baby when he was 12.
That's what, if the math is correct, then yes. Like if he's not lying about his age, then yes, he had a child when he was 12.
I mean, that's too early.
Way too early. A year older than Liam.
We were just talking about bringing those babies home in middle school.
You're exactly right. And I said, kids that are in 6th or 7th grade don't give a shit about these babies. They don't learn nothing. Well, maybe Patrick, maybe Babe would have learned something from the
babe. It was a year. He was a year too soon having a baby uh-huh. because we got those babies in 8th grade.
That is wild as fuck. I mean, look, I know people, you can have a baby when you're 12, but I cannot. Can you fucking imagine? No, I can't.
No, I can't imagine having a baby when I was 12. That's insane. I mean, I couldn't have a baby when I was 12, but
right.
other people can.
Me too.
I mean, I couldn't.
I couldn't, but I know some people could.
I could have at 14, but right. I couldn't at 12.
Well, then the next thing she says is he's such a great dad, which I'm not doubting because he seems like a great guy and he's involved in his kids' lives. And I was like, you guys didn't even say he had kids in full episode and a half into the show.
Also, his kids range from 25 to 35. So he was 22 when he was done having kids. Like he had five kids between 12 and 22.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, you're 22, okay, when you have the first kid or whatever, which means you're what, late 30s, whenever you are an empty nester. Of course, 40, he doesn't.
40.
40. Of course, you don't want to have another kid.
No, he's been an empty nester for 7 years.
Yes. Yes. He doesn't want any more. He ain't starting over.
Can you imagine having a baby at 12?
No.
Oh my God. I cannot get over this.
No. So, she says to him that she hasn't seen them in forever and they should come by more often. Maybe they don't want to be on TV.
Right.
He's like, oh, they've been busy with school. And then she says she was getting to a space where she thinks she wants to have her own child. She thinks it's something that she should experience.
Okay. Okay. She's 43.
Yeah.
I ain't knocking it, but it ain't for me.
No, but we've talked about this before. I think that it's not for us because we have already had kids. If I hadn't had a kid yet, I would be for having a baby at 43 just fine.
I don't think I would have one at 43.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like 35.
Sure.
But like, because I have kids, I don't want kids now.
No, me neither.
I don't want brand new babies.
No, me neither. But I mean, if I didn't have kids, I could see having a baby right now. Well, okay. So then he says it took him by surprise that she wants a baby now 10 years later, which means that she was around for some of the later teen years of the last kid, which means she's already seen how these kids act whenever they become teens. Why do you want to start over?
Right. Well, they have been together for 13 years.
So she was around for all the teen years with at least one kid.
Yeah.
You already know how this goes.
Yeah.
Well, and then she's like, well, how do you feel about that? And he says to the camera that in the past, he would have had children with her, but now he's an empty nester, as they say. And he likes to keep his wings flying. I feel you. He talks like an old man, the courting and the as they say, you know.
I mean, he basically is an old man.
He's not.
He's not, though. He just had a baby at 12.
He's lived a lot of life, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Could you imagine? Oh my God. I can't even get over this.
So Tara says, you know, for her, it's like he's already had these kids and she hasn't had any children. And then this is where she says my husband has expressed throughout their entire marriage that he is not really up to having any more children. But as time has passed, she's beginning to feel a lot more energy towards wanting to have a child of her own. And because she has friends that are under 30 and have had issues having a baby, she just thinks it's important for her to at least get the show on the road and see where she stands. Yes, ma'am. You passed the beginnings of what is clinically termed geriatric pregnancy many years ago. Like 32 or 35 or something is when they start calling it 35. That, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not old, by the way, but I'm not saying it's geriatric. That's just what they call it.
That's the medical term for it.
Right. So then Noble pulls up and it was then confirmed to me that Patrick truly hates him.
Oh, I know. This part. Holy shit.
So remember that Patrick is there washing a car. It's not like he's going anywhere. He is literally actively washing the car. Noble pulls up and kind of pulls like sideways into the end of the driveway. And when he gets out of the car, Patrick's like, oh, you're going to block everybody in? I was like, dude, you're not going anywhere. Why are you so mad?
Oh, but wait.
I know.
Just stop there.
But it was like, what's he going to do? Hop in the car and speed around the block to blow all the suds off of the car?
Right.
So that he
was still actively washing the car.
Yes. So as Noble walks over, Patrick's like, right before you rudely interrupted us and blocked everybody in, she said something about a baby. I was like, sir, you're so calm and old manly until Noble comes around and then you get feisty.
Feisty.
Noble's like, who's having a baby? And Tara says that she thinks she's reached the point in her life where she really wants to have a baby. And he says, with who? Noble does. And Tara says, well, she doesn't have anybody in mind just yet. To camera, Noble says, more power to her, but he doesn't think she's correctly estimating the amount of work that it takes to have a baby. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yes.
And then he says, I just know that she and I won't be having a baby together. And I was like, damn, did she tell you were a piece of shit and she won't have a baby with you?
Right.
That was like my first thought. I was like, good grief. But then she explains that they won't be having a baby together because they both have the sickle cell trait. And she's known that about Noble probably since the first week or two. And it just would not be the wisest move, which actually I thought was like great that they sat down and had a conversation about this when they first started to talk, because what if you did want a baby and you were, you know what I'm saying? You were trying to talk to someone and then they didn't say anything to you until you were like in a full blown. And then it was like, oh, we both have it. So we can't, you know,
or you didn't say anything until you were pregnant.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
It probably made it easier for them to talk about it because they both have it, you know?
Yes. Right.
So then Noble's like, are you going to manifest this situation with another guy?
Listen, Nobi.
I was like, manifest that shit, Tara.
Man.
Noble says to camera, her bringing someone else in and someone who's already there being repositioned, he feels like that's some bullshit.
He sure does. He does.
Don't you worry, because she's already on the hunt for somebody else.
She sure is.
She goes on a date with DeAndre to do salsa lessons, which I think is very exciting. And I would love to do salsa lessons, but most definitely not with someone on a first date.
No, but also their salsa lessons, like it got like aggressive. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah. Also, the man teaching them.
Yes.
At one point, I think they said his name was Alfredo, but then she called him something else. And I forgot to write it down. All right. So they met at DeAndre's aunt's boutique. He ran into her there and they got along and everything went from there. And it surprised him that she has a husband, but wherever things lead to, he's just rolling with it. That is until she tells him that she wants a kid.
Yep.
So then they show the salsa lessons. As you said, it gets
aggressive. I don't know how else to describe it.
Sexually aggressive.
No, it's like their steps get like longer. Oh, yeah. And like the throwing gets harder and like,
yeah, that too. But then there's like a scene where,
he's like, for sure,
all up in her business.
Right.
DeAndre says she's looking good. He can feel the attraction level building up. And he wants to see what this night will lead to and how much fun they can really have. And again, I say that's only until she says she wants a baby.
Yes.
Also, he seems much younger than her.
He really does.
I don't know if they said his age.
Maybe she's scouting out the younger ones for like the fresh sperm.
You know? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good point. Good point. So she says she's liking him. She thought it was pretty cool that he put forth the effort to try something different. And when she's dancing with him, she wasn't thinking about brother husbands. She was just trying to be in the moment and be present. So they go grab a drink after the dancing. They talk about how it was a lot of fun. And it's the first time that she took a dance class since she took one with her husband a few years back. And he's like, okay, so a little bit more about that. You said you're married. What's the deal with that? And then she goes, yeah, we've been together for 13 to 14 years now. First of all, how do you not know how many years you've been together? And then she says they were facing hurdles in the intimacy department. And that was a little bit of a frustration. So about 2 to 3 years ago, they decided she would seek multiple partners. Do you have a calendar, ma'am, that you can write things down?
Clearly not.
She wants to see what life will bring her on this journey because she's looking for love and a partner. And he's like, that's different. And then they show him to the camera and it's just a bleeped out curse word. It made me laugh so hard. I was laughing so hard I couldn't even look at his mouth to see what the word was.
Yeah.
So then she says to him, her long-term goal for wanting this second partner is to have a baby. And he just bursts out laughing.
Yes, he does.
And then very uncomfortably takes a drink of beer. Like, please don't, let's not talk. Let's talk about something else.
Uh-huh.
And to camera, she says that she told him she wanted to have a baby and she thinks he wasn't really prepared to hear that. And she thinks it was overwhelming for him. You don't say.
Yeah, I don't think he was.
He says that when Chara tells him he wants to have a baby, he kind of shies away from that idea. And then he says he's looking to have fun. And she says fun to her just means sex. And if she's looking to have a baby, she needs to be deeply connected to someone. And she needs to make sure that person is the proper fit. And that takes time. Yes, it does. Indeed.
Yeah.
Good grief. That's all we get from them. Again, peeling back that onion.
They really are peeling the onion.
It's wild. So now we're in Houston, Texas with Kenya, Carl, Tiger, and Moonstone.
Moonstone. Oh.
So Kenya's cooking gumbo. And Tiger says that he and Carl had a conversation a couple of days ago about his parents not coming to the wedding. And they're going to talk to Kenya today about everything that's going on. Then Kenya's like, Tiger, I made you celery juice. And I was like, excuse me, you made him what now?
You heard right.
That sounds real gross. I like celery and that a lot. And that sounds gross to me.
Celery juice.
Put that celery stick right in a juicer and drink that baby right up. And then she's like, do y'all tell your mothers about how I keep y'all so healthy and virile? I was like, please do not tell your mothers that.
Oof, God.
And then she's like, I want y'all bragging about me to your mama. Tiger says, speaking of, he went and talked to her and expressed how he felt. and that he really wanted her to be at the ceremony. And unfortunately, in no uncertain terms, she said she's not coming. And Kenya's like, so what are we going to do now? And he's like, we can still have the ceremony. Mm-hmm. So like, will you still have it without my mother? Can you climb down off of your ridiculous high horse?
Right.
Kenya Takamura says she's pissed off. Honestly, his mother and father being an absolute no, why wouldn't they accept her? When is the day that they're going to say, we love you, you're our daughter-in-law? Probably never.
Right.
Carl, calm voice of reason, says to her, we know what it's like to not get support, but as time went on, people did start to warm up. And he does feel that with Tiger's situation, his parents will need more time. More than the decade that they have had.
Right.
They've been together for 10 years. What is going to change? Yes. You don't have to have the approval of family members just because they're family members. I hate to tell her.
No, you don't.
He says usually they're in a situation where he's mediating between Tiger and Kenya, and that's okay with him. He wants to make sure that Tiger understands some of the things that Kenya says and what she's talking about. But he also wants Kenya to understand the guy perspective on things. And Tiger has certain concerns that maybe she can't understand or empathize with. And he wants to help Kenya understand those positions as well. So then she's like, given this news, I don't feel like we should do the wedding.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just burn the whole thing down because two people can't come.
Right. It makes no sense to me.
Me neither. I don't know. I just think she doesn't want to get married to him.
Right.
Which is weird because they've been together for 10 years.
Right. Yeah.
Tiger's like, this has been really tough. He's super unsettled about it. It just makes him want to scream. Kenya says that they have to work a few things out because she also has something to share with them today. And then she's like, you all know David? And Carl just fucking bursts out laughing.
I know. It's so great.
I know.
It's so great.
The way he laughs is so funny.
Oh, my God.
Tiger's like, I know of David. Well, it turns out David is her ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
Then she says, David was her first partner and lover outside of her first still existing marriage.
Yes.
So she was married before?
I don't know.
Isn't that what that sounds like? Her first still existing marriage.
Was she married after Carl?
Oh, good question. Or was there another marriage and then she married Carl and that person left and then she legally married Carl?
I don't know.
The way she worded it was so weird. You would just say outside of my marriage.
Right. It's not a normal way to say it.
Not at all. So anyway, she says that she doesn't dump any of her men and she's always with them in some form or another. And lately he's been expressing a desire to come back down and see her. Tiger says, if David comes back in here, is she going to fall out of love with him? Tiger, I'm gonna need you to get a grip.
Uh-huh.
Because you're starting to bother me with your neediness.
He is, I mean, I kind of feel bad for him, but he is very needy.
I feel bad for him too, and he's starting to bug me.
Yeah.
So Kenny's like, you guys provide different things. David is somebody who, and then she starts laughing and she's like, why are you looking at me like that? And Tiger's like, because when you say provide, there's only one thing that comes to mind about what this dude is providing, which is the dick. Like, what else do you think he provides?
Provide the dick.
And then Carl says, you're having Tiger move into his own room. And now you're reconnecting with David, who was your first love, and you're iffy on the ceremony. So that does seem a little bit scary.
I mean, it does. It makes sense, you know, because she's doing all of these things at the same time.
Yes. It feels like she's having a midlife crisis.
Yeah, it kind of does. But I understand Tiger being upset about it because it's all happening at the same time.
He says he's mortified. I think the word you're looking for is scared to death.
Uh-huh.
So the next time we see her, she's at the gym with Dr. Flex.
Yes.
I can't figure out Dr. Flex. Like, is he actually friends with her? Does he just put up with her because she works out there? Like, I don't understand what's happening here.
I don't know. Well, doesn't she say that they hang out outside of the gym?
Well, she said that he's met both of her husbands. So they must hang out in some capacity, you know, right. And she loves working out with him because he allows her to share whatever comes to mind. So she says to him, you know, the Tiger's talking about the wedding again and his family's not on board. So who's going to be at the wedding? If they're going to have a wedding, she wants her family, Tiger's family, Carl's family, a real unified coming together and energetically of their community. Yeah, but you're not going to get that. So like,
right. Let it go.
Adjust your expectations or whatever.
Right.
She's like, you know, we're already married otherwise. Well, you're not. He wants this commitment ceremony. So who cares, you know?
Right.
And then she's like, and the other thing is I'm still looking for partners. And Flex is like, how are you going to talk about getting married and finding another dude in the same sentence?
Uh-huh.
She's like, he says, you have two husbands and you want more? You want another boyfriend or multiple boyfriends? And he says to camera that it has him questioning the situation more. It's like, okay, you have two husbands already and you still want another partner. It's like, what's the need? What needs to be fulfilled? Or could that even be fulfilled? And that was such a good point.
Yes, it is.
Because I feel like she would just find another guy, get sick of him in 10 years, find another guy, and so on.
Right.
She says it's called fresh attention, new relationship energy. She's like, you have a girlfriend, but if you go to the gym and somebody says, oh, hey, Flex, you're looking good today. What does that do to your body? And he's like, well, it makes me feel good. And she goes, okay. And do you tell her not to compliment you because you already have a girlfriend? No, you say thank you and it feels good. And she says she's never going to stop dating or, you know, looking for new people. This is about community and her experience with everybody on the planet. And she'll always keep that open. Yeah. But what you're saying is that you're never satisfied once it gets past like the honeymoon stage.
Right.
Which that's just life.
It is, unless you're her.
I guess. Flex says it's beyond his understanding. Same girl. And he says he doesn't understand it completely. Still has a lot of questions. To camera, Kenya says she feels so excited about David coming back. Her only concern is how Tiger will take it. She and Tiger aren't having as much sex as she would like. And the best thing that can happen for her and Tiger is David coming back into her life so he can deliver what Tiger is not. She wants them to get along. She wants them to be brother husbands if they're going to be anything at all. You know, maybe if she stopped making him feel like a worthless piece of shit and she has to go find somebody else, that he would have sex with her more often.
Right.
I'd stop having sex with you too if you kept telling me about how you had to go find somebody else.
Maybe he's just like, you know, having a moment.
Yes. You know? Yes.
And clearly he doesn't want to do it in the mornings because he already told everyone.
He sure did. He sure did. All right. So Elisa and Mike.
Okay.
From LA, our favorite gal.
Love her.
Love this journey for her.
I love this journey for her. Yep.
So she says she needs to talk to her best friend, Amanda, and just kind of get her take on things because Amanda knows that Elisa is seeking another partner and she has the best advice. So she tells Amanda that she found a dating app and she made her profile, but it was like, you know, I have a husband, I am married on the profile. And it's been really nice because the people she's meeting through that totally get it. I don't think you totally get it, Elisa.
Right. I don't think you do either.
Amanda says that Mike and Elisa are her first exposure to any of this, you know, other kind of relationship besides a traditional monogamous one. And it was a shock at first, but it led her to asking questions and having conversations. It's piqued her curiosity. This relationship style definitely requires many more difficult conversations and a lot more energy. So she thinks it's a lot more work and more difficult for Elisa to have this relationship style, but it's who she is and it's what she wants. So she has her wedding picture on there.
Yes.
And a picture of her and Mike, but those are the only two pictures that indicate that she's married to Mike. And she's like real proud of that.
Oh, and you know, she got all those pictures with her wine.
Oh my God. I know.
Oh, no. You can't forget about those wine pictures.
Yeah. So Amanda says, you know, have you talked to your parents about this? She says her parents have been super open-minded. Well, I think they're supportive, but I'm not sure that the dad was super open-minded.
I feel like they're supportive of her and her decisions.
Yes.
Not necessarily of the situation. Right. You know, like I think that they're just like, you're going to do this, so we're here for you.
Yes. Kind of thing. Yes. I think so too.
But maybe we don't agree with it.
Yes. Then she's like, it's been a whole other thing with Mike's mom. She says Mike's mom was super worried that she was pushing him into this because it's something she wanted and Mike felt forced into it. And they just don't talk about it with her. So they need to have a conversation and clear the air. I have never heard two people protest so much about the fact that they both wanted this.
Uh-huh.
The lady and her dumb husband doth protest too much.
Listen, this episode, the amount of convincing that Mike has done to himself out loud.
I haven't looked because I don't want to be spoiled, but I really hope he has left her.
I hope he has too. I doubt he has, though.
Well, I bet they probably can't say anyway.
No, they probably can't. But, you know, I wish he would, but I bet he hasn't.
Yes, I wish he would, too. He could so easily find someone else who was not awful to him.
Mm-hmm. He could.
Elisa's like, yeah, we don't want to have this conversation over the phone. And Amanda says to the camera, she thinks the conversation with Mike's mom is going to be a tough combo. You think?
Yeah.
Of course, as the wife, you always want to impress the mother-in-law. And it's a difficult thing for a parent to swallow, especially when they have an idea about what the relationship should be. You mean a relationship where someone's not treating your son like trash? Yeah, that's probably how she thought the relationship would be.
Uh-huh.
So then, you know, Amanda asks her when they're having the conversation with the mom. She says soon. And then Elisa to camera says she knows having one conversation might not fix it all, but at least then it'll all be out there and they'll all be on the same page and they can go from there. So now we're back at the apartment. That's all we get of Amanda. Elisa says, they just need to invite his mom. That's the next step. And Mike says he wants to invite her down to have a conversation, but also to do something fun. He doesn't just want to invite her down for one conversation.
I love when they get on the phone with the mom.
That's what they do next. They are going to video call her.
Uh-huh.
Wait, hold on. So Mike to camera says they want to talk to her about the multiple partner relationship, but also about this being a mutual decision between them both, not just Elisa trying to push it and salvage the relationship from the cheating. It's something they both wanted.
He literally just said why.
You're exactly right.
He just said why.
She wants to cheat on you without you calling it cheating.
Yes.
He says, when his mom first heard about their plural relationship lifestyle, she was shocked and not happy. And they haven't really talked about it since then. It was difficult to actually bring it up to her. And now they're at the point where it's necessary to sit down and have the conversation. And then she can form an opinion based on all the facts. When they call her, she literally answers and goes, what's up?
Uh-huh. I know.
I was like, well, I love her already.
I know.
So Mike says, we wanted to invite you down for a weekend in LA and Elisa's parents will be here. And then there's like a pause. And then the mom is like, yeah, that sounds like fun.
Uh-huh.
First of all, she does not want to be on the phone with them.
No, she doesn't.
Then he says, we wanted to get all the parents together and do something fun, maybe go on a hike and do some wine tasting. And Lisa's like, the mom is like, okay, is there a reason?
Yep. Yep. She knows exactly what's happening.
She sure does. She sure does. And he says, yeah, well, you know, we mainly want to hang out and have some fun, but they also want to sit down and have the conversation with her about why Elisa wanted to date other partners and go into more detail about the cheating incident.
Yes.
And figuring out what exactly we wanted moving forward. They wanted to share their side of the story in more detail. First of all, how insanely awkward would it be to sit down with your parents, your spouse's parents, and your spouse and have a big old conversation about how your spouse cheated on you.
And you're okay with it because we're making it okay because she's going to continue to do it in an okay manner.
The fact that she just sits there and goes, yeah, I cheated on him and it's fine, is so fucking wild and selfish to me.
It is. Also, when they said, you know, oh, well, we want to have this conversation too. If I was the mom, I would have been like, I knew it. I fucking knew it.
I know.
Can't just bring me down to have a good time. You got to have fucking conversation.
She knows, man. She knows going in.
She knew it from the start.
It's also, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it really even Lisa's business? The cheating thing?
Elisa's business?
No, Lisa, the mother. Oh my God. I just realized that her name is Elisa and her mother-in-law's name is Lisa.
Yeah.
No, the mom's business.
No, I mean, I don't think it is, but I feel like they're trying to, because she's probably pissed at him.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're trying to like make it better, to like make it okay so that they have a relationship.
Make it okay by explaining how she cheated on this woman's child.
Yes. And that she's going to continue to do it, but he's okay with it.
I don't know that I could sit there and listen to this about my own kid.
I couldn't.
Someone else had hurt my kid. You know what I mean?
And you know that she has to fucking hate Elisa.
Totally.
Like, hate her.
Totally.
Yes.
Well, and then she says she does have a lot of questions and concerns, and Elisa and her have never spoken about things. She just wants things to go smoothly, and she does have a ton of questions. Why would her and Elisa sit down and talk about Elisa cheating on her kid?
Maybe this is how normal people do things.
I don't know. I personally think you should keep your private business like this out of your parents' areas, because then it all comes back.
This is the whole, like, you don't tell people shit if you're trying to stay with the person.
That's yes.
Because then your friends are going to hate them.
Yeah.
Kind of scenario, you know?
Because Lisa hates her.
Yeah.
We can already tell she hates her.
Right.
So Mike says he wants her to ask questions. He doesn't want her to have any doubts or uncertainty. He wants her to hear their reasoning. The conversation is long overdue, and he thinks now is the time. He doesn't think there's a concern about Elisa and his mom not getting along. They get along now. They're cordial and friendly, but he just doesn't want things to get worse. Oh, it's about to, baby.
Getting along and being cordial are very different.
Two different things. Yeah. Because she hates her.
Yes, she does. It's clear to everyone but him.
She would love nothing more than for Mike to leave her.
Right.
So that's the end of them. Thank God. Although next week, the conversation with Mike's mom is happening.
Yes.
Which, okay. So the next time on, Kim tells Vincent that if he's going to be involved with her, he needs to know it will be her husband, Dustin, and other people as well. And Vincent doesn't want to feel like just an accessory. Good point.
Right.
Chara is getting pictures done with Valentino, someone she's been talking to long distance, like professional pictures. It was very weird. David, Kenya's ex-boyfriend, is coming to town. Carl wants to know where his head is at. Tiger doesn't think the timing is the best, but Kenya and David are painting each other in the almost nude and then taking a bath together. And she says it's the attention she's been missing.
Yep.
And then the conversation with Mike's mom, Elisa says it was Mike's idea to live this way.
Bullshit. Bullshit. Bullshit.
The mom doesn't think it's the right thing for her son, and we don't either. Mom.
No, we're with the mom on this.
We're with the mom. Elisa is terrible.
Elisa convinced Mike that it was his idea.
You're exactly right. She has talked him into thinking that he believes this and that this is his idea.
Yes.
Ugh, she is the fucking worst.
She really is.
Well, that's all we have for them for this week, for this shit show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still thoroughly enjoying it.
Oh, I am too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... all right. That's all we got. We'll see what happens next week, people.
I'm excited.
I'm excited to meet Mike's mother.
Yes, me too.
I can
and hear what
wait.
She has to say.
Oh boy, she's going to have some things to say. I also can't wait to see why the hell Valentino and Chara are getting their professional pictures taken.
There's no telling. There is no telling.
I bet it's going to go better than that time that the Browns had their professional pictures taken for My Sister Wife's Closet.
Oh my God. Yes.
Holy
why
shit.
Do I even need to be here?
Oh, God. All right. Well, that's it. So we will talk to you guys next week.
All righty.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.